Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn and we're going to look at 1 John, the book of 1 John in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I was thinking back this week on some different times, different chances that I've had to sit in on small groups and be a part of different groups over the years. And I love small groups. It's a time to have good conversations and they usually have a lot of good things, hopefully, in them. There's some really funny moments sometimes in small groups, but there's also some of the best, most serious conversations that happen when we do small groups on Wednesdays. And I was thinking back on small groups a little bit, and a time that I was with Pastor Jay at a different church, we went to a camp, and I got to sit in on a small group. And I just remember in that group, especially for some reason at that camp, there was so much confusion with those middle schoolers and those high schoolers about what the gospel is. And there was a lot of confusion specifically about like what God says, what the Bible says about how a person can be saved. And that's nothing to be embarrassed about, but there was really a lot of confusion about the gospel. And there were a couple different things that ideas that people brought up of like, maybe that's how we can be saved by maybe doing some good things by our own goodness or our own works. Like that's maybe how we could be saved and be made right with God. Or maybe by just not doing some bad things and by adding some good things, kind of starting to look a different way and kind of look like a Christian. Maybe that's how I can be saved. And I hope, I know, maybe, hopefully that raises kind of a red flag for you if you hear that. Because that's not what the gospel is about. And the Bible makes clear over and over and over again that our own effort, our own human good works, or even our own background of having like a Christian family or parents who are Christians, none of that is what could ever save us or make us right in our relationship with God. A relationship with God that's been broken by sin, that deserves God's judgment, needs to be fixed. And there's only one way that it can be fixed. And that's through the good news of the gospel. And I think that confusion from that small group is something that actually might be confusion that you have maybe even in your own life or maybe some confusion that even you hear in your small group sometime. And I just thought, especially with a new group of sixth graders this morning, that it would be good for us to just think for a little bit about the gospel. What is the gospel all about? How does it actually work? Why is the gospel something that's good news for Christians? How can you, your own heart, how can you be saved from your sins? One of the greatest hopes, one of the major big goals of your time here in exchange would be for you to understand the gospel, for you to know how someone can be saved and to know if you're somebody who is saved, who has become a Christian. And there's a section of the Bible that I thought we could look at this morning. It's here in 1 John chapter 4. This book was written to help us understand and to know whether or not you're somebody who is a true Christian. It's written to help us understand the gospel and to know that you have eternal life that God offers to sinners and to know what being a Christian is all about. And this morning, I thought it'd just be good for us to take some time to study and to think about a few verses here in chapter 4 that really give us a good summary of the good news message of the gospel. Just to take a Sunday to see the only way that God's word talks about how someone can be saved from their sin. And one thing that the Bible makes clear is that being saved is only possible not by our good works. It's not possible by just stopping doing bad things or by trying to add some good things. The gospel and being saved is not about you looking like a Christian or just coming to church and doing some good things in your life. It only comes the gospel through God's work. It comes because of God's great love for us and what he accomplished because of his love for you. The gospel is about God's work that comes because of his deep and his vast, his incredible love for you. And that's just a big idea I think we could think about this morning, that Christians are people who are saved because of God's love for us. Christians are people who are saved because of God's love for us, not by our own works, but because of what he's done for us in his love. Look at 1 John 4 and starting in verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's a lot we could study there and think about there, but I just want us to focus in on two parts, two lessons from these verses to help us how anyone can become a Christian, how somebody can be saved from your sins. And so just looking at what's here, we first should understand lesson number one, that God's love has been shown toward sinners. Look at verse 9. It says that the love of God was made manifest. That's a big word. It's just another way to say that God's love has been made visible among us. God's love is clear to see. It's not hidden, but it's been shown. And if you were up early this morning, you might have seen the sunrise. Did anybody get up before the sun rose? That'd be pretty crazy. Maybe some of you guys are up really early. Yeah, you've seen, though, maybe at one time or another, the sunrise. It was dark outside, but then 6 a.m., the sun comes up over the horizon, and it's there, and it's shining in the sky. And then right now, if you went outside, you would see the sun bright and clear. You couldn't miss it. And John's telling us that God's love is shining bright and clear. It's something that we can't miss. God's love has been made manifest. It's been made visible, clear for us to see. We know that God is characterized by love. We can see that even back in verse 8. It tells us that God is love in verse 8. God's nature is perfect in love. And there we're not just talking about like emotions or like a lovey-dovey kind of like love songs, love. No, this is a word, love, that's talking about God choosing to do what's best for other people. God choosing to give and serve and act to do something for other people in the greatest and most perfect way possible. He chooses to show perfect love and compassion to other people. He is love. If we want to understand what perfect love is, we just need to look to God. He is love. But again, we could just ask, like, how do we see that love? God's not just telling us that he is love. He's shown it, and it's been made clear. It's been made manifest and visible, and it's in the most clear way possible for us to see. God's love has been proven in this world. And John says here, if you look at verse 9, that it's been made visible, it's been made manifest in this, that God sent his only Son into the world. God's love is clear in that God, because of his love, sent his Son. He planned and he chose to give the greatest gift that could ever be given. He sent his only son, Jesus, into the world. And he did that in order that through Jesus, people could be saved. He had this plan to accomplish what we couldn't because of our sin. He showed his love by sending Christ to save us from our sins. And I think we should really slow down and notice very carefully those last few words of verse 9. It says, God sent his son, it says, so that we might live through him. This is a message for us, for you. If you think about it, that's a very big deal that God didn't just send his son to save really lovable, great, awesome, perfect people. God sent his son to save people like us, people who are sinners. Verse 10 talks about sin. We needed saving from our sin. People who deserve God's judgment because of our sin. People who will forever be separated from God because we've sinned against him. People who are hopeless, who can't do anything to rescue ourselves. People who are dead in our trespasses and sins. Nothing we could do on our own. God sent his son for those kinds of people. For sinners who have sinned against him, God sent his son so that we might live through him. There's some people that are really easy to love. Some people in your life. You could think of people in your family, maybe that good friend of yours or your group of friends. You feel like you would do anything for your friends because of how much you love them. But that's not exactly what's going on here. God has given this great gift from his love not to easy to love people, not to people who are okay. He's given it to people who have offended him with our sin, people who have broken his law again and again, people who deserve judgment. God has given the gift of his son to die for those kinds of people, for people who are sinners. Romans 5:7 says that maybe for a good person, someone would dare even to die, but God showed his own love toward us. God showed his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how we can start to understand what the gospel is and to know what love is, what the good news of the message of the gospel is. Christ did the saving. Christ laid down his life for sinners. And God had this plan to send his son to die and to take the punishment that we deserve. And through his work on the cross, to make it so that we could live, to be the savior from our sins, to die in our place so that we would no longer face God's judgment, so that we would no longer be dead in our sins, but so that we could have life in Christ. That's the work of God. It's the gospel message. And it's the only way that the Bible talks about how someone can be saved and have eternal life and be a Christian. The Bible says that it's not through you doing good things, through you adding some things to your life, through you not doing bad things anymore. No, being a Christian here is about being saved by God through his love for you and sending Christ. Christians are people who are saved because of God's love for us, sending Christ to save us. What should be our response to that? There is a response that the Bible talks about that we need to have when we hear about what Christ did for us, what God did for this world in sending Christ. John 3:16. It's one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, and it sounds a lot like this verse here in 1 John 4. It tells us that whoever believes in him will have that eternal life. The gospel is a message of God's love for you and sending Christ. And it's a message for you to believe in, to trust in what Christ did for you in order to be saved, in order to have life, in order to have your sin taken away. This is the only way that someone can be saved. It's through God's love shown to you and sending Christ to save you. We need to know about God's love shown toward sinners. And we're going to talk about that all the time here in Exchange, because it's the very heart of what the good news is about, what God did for you. But I think we can also understand one more short lesson here, and that's number two. It's a lesson about God's people being saved to now love others. God's people are now saved to love others. If we look at verse 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." All of these verses here are talking to believers, are talking to Christians, people who have become Christians, who have heard that message about God's love for you and what God did sending his son Christ, and people who have believed in that message and found forgiveness and salvation. It says now here in verse 11, if God so loved us, we Christians also ought to love one another. Because of God's love shown towards us, we now love as Christians. And again, that's not just emotions or some kind of sappy, cheesy love. This is talking about love that's choosing to do what's good for the people around you, serving and having compassion on people, even when it doesn't come naturally or it doesn't necessarily feel easy or automatic. This is the kind of new heart of love that should be part of a Christian. If you look at Titus 3, it tells us about people before they know Christ, people who are not Christians. And it says that their lives are marked by being foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And it says that they live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Instead of love in the heart of a unbeliever, in the heart of somebody who doesn't know the gospel, there is hate. But somebody who's been saved by Christ, what shows up in their heart will start to be love where there once was hate. There will be a change and a transformation because God has shown his love towards you. And I think about this like maybe you've seen it before, a family who all the family kind of does things the same, or they even kind of remind you of their parents a lot. Like maybe it's a family and they all have red hair, just like their parents have red hair. Or it could be like a family that all has musical ability. They play like every kind of instrument you can imagine. And that just comes because of the fact that their parents are also really musical, and their parents are also really good at playing almost every instrument. You could think of families like that where the kids are just so much like their parents. And that's how it is for believers. We should start to look so much like our Father. We should start to look so much like the God who is perfect in love, starting to love people who aren't very easy to love. And this isn't a perfect love yet, but here it's what should start to show up and what should start to define your life as a Christian: love for other people. God's people are now saved to love others. I think there's something very important for us to take away from a verse like that, and something I want you to think about and hear again. If you notice again there in verse 11, being saved does not come by our works. Being saved does not come by you just doing more kind and loving things in your own effort. The wrong idea that I think shows up and can create a lot of confusion is that I just need to add more love, or I just need to be more kind, or act in a certain way, or do a bunch of good things, and that's what will make me a Christian. If I just became a little bit more of a nice person, maybe if I just be better or do more good, then I'll be a Christian. But that's totally out of order of what God says there in verse 11. First, it says, we need to know that God so loved us. The gospel is about God's love for you, saving you from your sins through what he did in sending Christ. And then, because that's happened, because you've been saved, it should show up in the fact that you now have a loving, changed life because you've been saved by Christ. Being a Christian is about coming to understand God's great love for you and believing in his son who died for you. And the result of that being saved will be love, not love that earns you salvation, but the love that shows up because you've already been saved by Christ. I just love these verses. I think they're so helpful for us to just come back to, and maybe even they're familiar verses for you this morning, but what a helpful reminder that being a Christian is about God's love for you and sending Christ in doing what you could not do by sending his son to die in your place on the cross. And a simple way to end this morning is just to ask if you know about God's love for you. Maybe you know about it, but do you know it in experience? Have you come to understand the gospel and believe in the gospel? The gospel is good news for sinners, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. There's a lot that you know, you could learn in junior high and in middle school. I'm sure at school you have like all these, your teachers at least, have all these goals of things they want you to walk away with, to make sure that you know about when you're in middle school. Some topics in like math and history. You need to know some stuff in like English and science. When you come to exchange here, thankfully it's not school, but there is something we want you to walk away with once you've left middle school, and even what I want you to walk away with this morning. And it's the fact that being a Christian is about God's love shown towards you, and that you can be saved through his son Christ dying in your place. And there's no effort, no doing more good things that could earn you that salvation. It's what Christ did in your place and believing in him for salvation. We need to know about what being a Christian is all about. And it has to start with understanding God's love for you and believing in his son so that you can have forgiveness of sins and that you can have everlasting life. We'll be talking about that a lot this year, but I think it's so helpful for us to start thinking about it even this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have loved us with so great a love. And it's not just love that you tell us exists, it's love that you've shown towards us in rescuing sinners from our sins through the death of Christ on the cross. Thank you that there's newness of life, that there is everlasting life for whoever believes in your son. Lord, I just ask that every middle schooler in this room would understand who you are and about your love and would believe in your son and find everlasting life in him, even now in their time in middle school. And may it change their life to be changed to love other people because they've experienced such a great love for them. Thank you, Lord, for this gospel message. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.